Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
Get your Bibles out and turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Now we are continuing on and we are almost done. Next week will be our last week in this sermon series. But we are continuing our sermon series called Living Free, What Freedom Means for the Life of the Believer. And so one of the reasons we're doing this is because we believe there are these pesky little things in our lives and our families and our culture and our society that draw our hearts away from God. And guys, a lot of times we think like God may be the one that's holding us back, but God is actually the one that gives our hearts freedom. And it's these other pesky things in society that draw our hearts away from God that actually bind us and keep us from freedom. And the word we've been using to describe these pesky little things is called an idol. And an idol, a lot of times you may think of like a false god, or you may think of like a statue or a voodoo doll or something like that. And those certainly do count. But in our culture, in our society today, idols are a lot more subtle than that. And they can take on many shapes and sizes. And today we're going to get a chance to kind of chat through some of that. And so I wanted to share today, as we right before we open up God's Word in Luke chapter 12, you guys just stay right there or scroll there. We're going to start in verse 13, but I'll tell you more in just a minute. But today, we're going to be talking about this pesky idol. If you're taking notes, write this word down, called greed. A pesky idol called greed. And to be very honest with you, in my life, I worshiped frequently. Growing up in a small town in Mississippi, I worshiped greed. I had this pesky idol of greed, and the main reason is because I spent half of my life wanting to serve God in the church, however I could. I loved Jesus. I wanted to serve Jesus, but I also wanted to make a lot of money. Come on. I wanted to serve Jesus, but I wanted to make a lot of money. Now, in Mississippi, pastors do not make a lot of money, okay? I mean, some do. But and now in Virginia, we make a ton of money. Like, no, I'm just kidding. Pastors in general, doesn't matter where you're at in the world, don't make a lot of money. The sacrifice, you don't get it. It's kind of like being a teacher. Like nobody signs on the dotted line to teach like fourth grade because they're, you know, the school system's about to make it rain financially on top of you. Like that's not really why we get into it, okay? Being a pastor is the same way, but growing up in the Bible Belt in Deep South, I actually saw it the opposite way, where pastors weren't just poor, but they were like treated very unfairly, very badly. Like churches would literally build a house on the property of the church and say, hey, pastor, you can live basically in this small house attached to the church, and we'll let you live there for free. And you would look at it and go, well, that's so nice. Free housing. That's amazing. But the control that goes behind it, right? Now we always know where you're at. We always know if you're at home. We always know what you're doing. We always, like, you should be on call 24/7. And so in exchange for a free house, we own you. Okay? And so that was sort of the environment I grew up in. So when people started telling me and God started pushing on my heart, hey, God might be calling you to be a pastor, my first response was, heck no. That is not going to happen. I will be a mission. I will go do anything, but I'm not going to be a pastor because I saw the way they were treated unfairly, but especially financially. And I looked at it and I started thinking, God, I don't want to do this because I won't make enough money. And if I don't make enough money, How am I going to get me a honey? You know, how am I going to go out and get, you know, the woman of my dreams? You know, I mean, it's not the best pickup line, right? Like, hey, what do you want to do with your life? Oh, I'm going to go do this and do that. What about you? Yeah, I'm going to be a really poor pastor that, you know, just has nothing forever. So when should I pick you up for our second date? Like, when should that? You know, it just wasn't like the best pickup line. And I just thought, and so with money, I want you to listen to me, with the idea of money came everything else in my life. That if I didn't have enough money, how would I ever get married? If I didn't have enough money, how would I ever make it for myself? If I didn't have enough money, how would I be successful in anything else? If I didn't have enough money, how would I get rid of all of my anxiety? Like everything in my life surrounded around this idol that I was worshiping called greed. Well, I was getting ready for law school. I was on a totally different trajectory. I was going to serve Jesus part-time, don't you worry. I was going to give him my leftover scraps. But I was going to get into politics, go to law school, do the whole climb the ladder and do the journey thing. And I remember I was sitting there and I was getting ready for law school, and I had had a rough night. God was dealing with my heart. He was taking things away from me and out of my life. But the last thing I had to hold on to was, yeah, but God, listen, if I get to finish law school and I get to go into politics and I go into business and I do this, think about how much money I will have that I can support you with, God. Isn't that crazy? But that was my mindset. God, I could really financially invest in this kingdom thing you've got going on if you just let me do whatever I want to do. And that was the deal I made with God. He was having none of it. And so I went to this coffee shop and I was sitting down. I'd had a long night. He had taken everything away from me except money. I was still holding on to that. That was my trump card. And so I go and I order my drink and I go back and sit down and they call my name out the counter and I go to pick up my drink. And the barista, she looks at me, and I don't remember anything else about her. I don't remember her name. I don't remember anything. I just remember she had pink hair. So every time I share this story, I'm just like, the pink-haired barista said. And so she looked at me, and she goes to give me my drink, and she said, "You're Brandon?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Listen," you look like you've had a long night." It was early in the morning. And I was like, "Yeah, that's really none of your business. So can I have my caffeine, please?" And she says, "Yeah, I just want you to know, like, you're worried about something. Like, what are you worried about?" And I said, "I'm not worried. I'm worried about you giving me my coffee right now is what I'm worried about." And she said, "Listen, don't worry. If you're worried about money, don't worry about money." She said, "God's going to take care of you." And I went, I said, "Give me my coffee." And I went, I got my coffee, and I went and sat down, and I opened up my Bible. And I just happened to be reading through the book of Hebrews, and I found Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And in Hebrews 13, 5, it says, and literally this is within 30 seconds of what pink-haired barista lady just said. God then spoke. I said, "God, can you believe the audacity of pink-haired lady?" And he said, "Yeah, check this out. Hebrews 13, 5, do not worry about money. Be satisfied with what you have. For the Lord has said, I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you." And it was in that moment that I surrendered my idol of greed to the Lord. And it opened up all sorts of doors that eventually led me here, that eventually led me on a journey of planting churches. Because see, if I still had the idol of greed, I would never start a church. Because when you start a church, you don't have a bank account. There ain't nobody supporting you. There's no payment, okay? So by surrendering my idol of greed, it opened up all sorts of cool doors for me to get to serve King Jesus in ways I never would have been able to otherwise. So I share that story with you to let you know that this message today is not coming from a pastor out to get your money. This message today that we're sharing from God's Word comes straight from the heart of God, and I'm here to tell you that if you will trust God, He will open up all sorts of doors for you to be a kingdom advancer, to live the dream, and to live an abundant life that you never could have lived otherwise, being bound by a love of money. And so as we look at that, some of you may be here and you go, "Brandon, I wouldn't consider myself a greedy person. Like, I mean, I know there's greed and there's other people who are greedy. I'll tell you who's greedy, and that's bankers on Wall Street. They're greedy. I'll tell you who's greedy. It's the U.S. Senate, the House of Representatives, like the politicians. They're the one. Like, I, Brandon, am not greedy. In fact, Brandon, I'm not even that wealthy. Listen, you don't have to have money to have greed. Okay? Greed is a heart condition. It has nothing to do with how many zeros are in your bank account. So I stole a test. Stole is a big word. I borrowed a test from Dr. Tony Evans because I like the way he put it. It's called the greed test. And he asks a few questions to see whether or not we have any greed in our hearts. Number one, if we use illegal or immoral means to acquire things, then you might have a greed problem. If we complain more than we give thanks, we might have a greed problem. When we're more concerned about our cash than our character, we might have a greed problem. When your financial life is going up, but your spiritual life is going down, you might have a greed problem. When we treat people with money better than we treat people without it, we might have a greed problem. When we crave and plot to possess what legitimately belongs to somebody else, we might have a greed problem. When we hurt others in order to get something for ourselves, we might have a greed problem. I don't know. Any greed problems in the house today? I think the fair assessment is we all might have a greed problem at some point, right? And so let's see how God's Word tells us to deal with that. I want to remind you of the definition of an idol. Again, I got this from Dr. Tony Evans. He says, an idol is any unauthorized noun, person, place, thing, or thought that you look to as your ultimate source. That's what an idol is. Okay. All right, let's dive in. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. So scroll there or turn there in God's Word with me. Luke chapter 12. Starting in verse 13. By the way, I forgot to mention, if you're new to church, man, we'd love for you to follow along in God's Word. Feel free to use a phone or a tablet. You can download a Bible app. Just type Bible app. I use one called YouVersion, Y-O-U version, that you can download. It's pretty good. Follow along. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, this story cracks me up. Listen to this. Someone in the crowd said to him, everybody say, Jesus. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, first of all, I just want to say, I got all sorts of triggered at this verse because we are dealing with tattletaling in my house right now. And all I could think of is, Jesus, I hope you put them in time out. I hope you dealt with it because that's a tattletale right there. All right. So, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Verse 14, but Jesus said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? Isn't that so cool that the man interrupts Jesus' teaching? It'd be like one of you, while I'm teaching, raise your hand and say, hey, Pastor Brandon, I'm a little new here, but while my family's all here today, we got a little bit of an issue because Roy over here is not sharing the inheritance. What can you do about it? All right. And this is what Jesus says. Jesus, instead of going, well, I don't know, how much are we talking about? And have you thought about dividing it up among you? And have you thought about, well, what kind of fund is it in? And how can we move? Like, Jesus doesn't get into any of that. Jesus looks at him and says, I'm not a judge. Go to court if you want to deal with that. I'm here not to talk about your money. I'm here to talk about your heart. Look at verse 15. And Jesus said to them, take care, that means be careful, and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Isn't that amazing? Jesus looks at them and says, you need to be careful. He says, here's my advice to you. I'm not going to give you financial advice. My advice to you is to be careful because you might have greed in your heart. You might actually be worshiping your inheritance rather than worshiping God. Isn't that amazing that Jesus looks? And this is what the two words he uses is, number one, be careful, and number two, take guard. Take guard. To take guard is an active thing. It's not passive, it's active. I'm putting the helmet on, I got the shield, I got my weapon, and I'm taking guard. No greed, no possession, no money is getting between me and God. That's what it looks like. It's what Jesus is telling him. Take guard. Look at verse 16. And he told them a parable. Isn't that good? That's usually when Jesus looks and says, you guys look confused. Let me tell you a story. Saying, the land of a rich man produced plentifully. That's good. And he thought to himself, self, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. Isn't this so good? That's a good problem to have. To go, I am such a successful business person. I have lived such a successful life that I now crops were currency back then. Okay? You have to understand, crops were currency. Like, that was the idea of wealth, is like the amount of crops. He goes, I am so successful. I have so many crops. I'm running out of places to put everything. That's a pretty good problem. All right, look at verse 18. And so the man is wondering, what am I going to do? And in verse 18, the man said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there, I will store all my grain and goods. Isn't that incredible? I mean, I want you to think, this man is sitting here, he's going, man, I have so much. I just have so much stuff. I have so many material things. I have so much money. God has given me so much stuff. What am I to do with it? And he says, oh, I know. I know what I'll do. These sheds, they're the problem. I need a bigger shed. That'll fix the problem. If I get a bigger car, that will fix everything. If I get a bigger house, that will fix everything. If I get another job that pays more money, that will fix everything. Isn't that absurd? Like, just hearing it makes us go, I don't know. Like, I don't know, maybe there's another option. You know, maybe we actually sell things and get rid of things and downsize things and live the life of contentment that God has called us to. But this man, his main problem, listen, is a lack of contentment. His main problem is not that he had a lot of stuff. Listen to me, church. Wealth is not the problem. Wealth can be used mightily by God. Wealth is not the problem. If you are here and you are a wealthy person, that is not a sin. It is not a sin to have wealth unless you sinned to get your wealth. But it is not a sin to have wealth. It is a sin if you let that wealth control you. And when you are not satisfied with what you have, and you continue and continue and continue, you now are worshiping money. Like, you come in and you lift your hands and close your eyes and grin at your bank account. That's what you do. You light candles and get on your knees and bow and look up with adoration to your material possessions. And Jesus telling a story, that's what this man was doing. So look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, the man is saying, I will say to my soul. Now, isn't this amazing that the man avoids talking to God and chooses instead to talk to himself? Because listen, if you don't include community and you don't include God into the decisions you make, you will always talk yourself into a good idea. Always. This is why community, godly community, is so important when we make decisions. Because this man was literally doing an absurd thing to worship his possessions. And his solution was, instead of talking to God about it, he talks to himself about it. Soul, I think we did a good thing here. So listen to me. If you're beginning to make decisions, major decisions, that impact, and they are because of money or material possessions, and you are not including God, you have not fasted, you have not prayed, you have not sat down with a pastor or godly counselors and said, man, let's pray through this decision together and what God would have me do. If all you're doing is walking around talking to your soul, to yourself, then you're always going to hear what you want to hear. And it's not always God's voice. So let's see, what does he say to his soul? Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. See, that's what we say to ourselves. Soul, you have nothing to worry about. You're doing very well. Keep doing what you're doing. Get the extra stuff. Buy the bigger house. Get the better car. Go to the better school. Put your kids in this school. Do this and that. Like, live the best life. You have made it. That's what we say to ourselves. Look at verse 20. But God said to him, isn't that amazing? Because we say to our souls, but you know who can hear that conversation? God. And so even though we're saying something to our souls, God pipes in and says, actually, can I have a word? So you just, if you're taking notes, you just put a little asterisk and you put God enters the chat. Because here comes God. Now, I want you to know, if you're here today and you're listening, you're going, dude, I don't know. I just came for the baby dedication. Now you're spitting all sorts of fire and you're dealing with my money. And I don't really like that. I'm not dealing with your money. God is. And I want you to hear me say this. This is God's word about to speak, not me. So I don't want you to say the preacher went and said. I want you to say, if you've just been walking around talking to yourself about all these decisions in your life, right now I want you to hear, what would God say to you? Well, let's find out. These are from the words of Jesus. But God said to him, fool. Fool. You're a fool. You're acting foolish. This night, your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, who will they go to? Jesus says, so this is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I want you guys to hear me say this. God looks at him and interjects and says, well, that's good, because now you're dead. I'm taking your life. And now what will happen to the big barns that you've built? Guys, I want you to hear me say this. Jesus' point is this. Your aim, your goal, your life's desire is to get rich spiritually, not materially. Your goal and desire is to get rich in God, not rich in this world. That is how you combat it. So I want to just share with you guys a few things. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, greed is an individual idol. It's an individual idol. Like, there's nothing wrong with money, but when you put money into the life of someone who loves possessions more than they love God, greed is born. And listen, nothing in this world has a stronger pull on our hearts than money. In fact, the fact that you learned we were talking about money today, for some of you, it created some anxiety in your heart, because money does that. And when the thought of money creates panic and anxiety in your heart, then it is a sign that you have an idol of greed in your life. Like, I want you to know, greed is one of the most subtle, in America maybe not so subtle, but intense idols in a person's life in our country. And I say that because I have watched individuals completely walk away from Jesus because of financial decisions. They didn't bring down a banking system. They didn't steal thousands of dollars from someone. They just allowed greed to take over the affections of their heart. Number two, I want you to write this down. Greed is a family idol. It's in the top three reasons I see as a pastor for conflict and divorce in marriages. People fighting about money. We don't have enough money. We have too much money. What are we going to do with our money? We should do this with our money. We shouldn't do this with our money. We need more money. Now we need more money, so now you got to get a better job, and you have to get another job, and you've got to get this job, and we've got to do this and that. And all of a sudden, there's all of this tension built around money to sustain a lifestyle that God never called you to. You're trying to sustain a lifestyle that helps you keep up with your coworkers. You don't even like half those people anyway. You're letting arguments and things happen in your life and in your marriage and your family. You're making decisions for your kids based on their material happiness, not based on their spiritual well-being. Listen, we just saw families get up and say, we want our children to be rich in God, not rich in this world. Number three, if you're taking notes, write this down. Greed is a church idol. It's a church idol. I see it in the church all the time. We rob from God and then expect God to bless us. That's not my words. That's Malachi chapter 3. Like we do. God gives us money. It all belongs to Him. We decide not to give it back to Him or use it for His kingdom. So we rob Him of what is already His for our own selfishness and gain. And then we get upset when we feel like God isn't blessing us enough with material things. See, listen, we all want to prosper. And can I say this? God wants you to prosper. He does. But He doesn't want you to prosper without Him. And the problem is too many of us are trying to prosper in this world without Him. In fact, we might be doing that right now. And you're at church and you're worshiping and you're doing all this stuff and you're wondering, like, why don't I experience the presence of God in my life? And the reason is because you don't have the presence of God in your life. You left Him to go pursue worldly ambitions. But I have good news for you. It doesn't have to be that way. And God is ready and willing and even eager to turn your life around and change your perspective and your heart. And I do believe in prospering. But I also believe there have been people in the church that have taught that the only way to prosper is to give the church your money. So can I just say this? I don't want your money. I don't need your money. We started this church with nobody's money. Like, I want you to know that this is not a bang in the drum for all of you to empty your pockets and give the church your money. Okay? God doesn't need your money. God wants your heart. And when God has your heart, He'll have your money. That's it. So I want you to hear me say, I'm all about it. Like, listen, there's a practical issue of it. And we'll get to that in a second, but I just want you to hear me say this. This is not we're down budget-wise, so Brandon, get up there and talk about bang the budget drum and everybody will empty their pocket. That's not what this is. We do not live in fear of money at this church. We don't. Because you know how much it costs to be the church? Nothing. It's free. So that's not what this is. In fact, this church is doing really good. Really good. We have had the last 3 months the most giving than we have ever had in 2.5 years as a church in the last 3 months. Yeah, give the Lord some praise. It's amazing. We are over $5,000 in the black for the year as a church. And we have done a lot as a church. I just want you to hear me say, I'm not saying that to toot any horns. I'm trying to tell you, God wants your heart, not your money. But when He gets your heart, He'll have your money. And it's about being obedient. So beware of pastors who use the Bible to manipulate you to give to them and tell you that you will be blessed more if you give to them. Okay? That is not true. Give your heart to the Lord. I had some other scripture I was going to read today, but I'm going to leave it there. I'll send it to your community group leaders. You guys can dive into that. But I want to end today, and worship team, you guys can go ahead and come up. But don't put your stuff away, because I want you to write this down. I want to share with you guys the last part of Jesus' words all week have haunted me in a good way. How do we get rich in God? Like, that phrase has just, I thought about it when I wake up every morning. I thought about it when I went to bed every night. Is, God, how do I get more rich in You? Like, yes, I need to pay my mortgage. Yes, I want to provide for my children and my wife. But how do I get rich in You, in spiritual things? Like, how does that happen? And I believe the Lord shared with me a few things that I've been trying to put into practice in my life this year and the last few months. And I thought I would share it with you too, because if we're not careful, guys, church becomes a game. It's just another thing that's part of your life. You have work, you have sports, you have hobbies, and you've got church. And sometimes church is not even around, or God's not even around. So listen, if you're feeling worn out, beat up, if you're feeling like you're chained up and bound by this sin of greed or by this idol or just by anything else in life, let me share with you ways to get out of it. Number one, believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel with all of your heart. The gospel is the beautiful truth that Jesus set aside His riches in heaven to come down to this earth. That Jesus had the fullness of the riches of the kingdom of God, and He left it to come down here and to serve us, to give His life for us. And then, not only did He serve us by living a perfect life and facing every temptation perfectly, but then Jesus gave up His perfect life. There is nothing more precious to God than holiness. And Jesus gave up His holiness and took on the punishment for our sin on the cross. And so when you're having a hard time, you're feeling bound by your greed, Brandon, how do I get out of this? Focus on what Jesus did for you. Like, go to the cross and just go, Jesus, I thought I was going to build bigger barns, and then you're hanging on a cross. Like, I'm so focused on how many rooms are going to be in my shed, and you're hanging on a cross. Like, believe in the gospel. Believe that Jesus has saved your soul, and you could not be richer. You could not be richer than when you believe in Jesus. Man, believe in the gospel. Number two, read your Bible. Read it. Like, read your Bible. And I know you go, okay, Brandon, it's real. No, seriously, listen to me. Read your Bible every day. Read it every day. No more excuses. Read your Bibles every day. If you don't, you are going to drift away from God and succumb to the idol of greed and every other idol in this world. And you think you're just busy and it'll get better next week, but it's not going to. You have to fight. The devil doesn't want you in the Word. Kick him to the curb and read the Bible. Read it. And listen, if you need help, anybody in this church would love to help you read your Bible. In fact, asking someone to help you read the Bible might help them start reading their Bible. Yeah, God's got it rigged. And here's next. Pray and fast. Yeah. Pray and fast. I'm not talking about I'm driving down the road and my conscience is thinking about some things, so I called that prayer. That's not prayer. That's a battleground of your mind. What I'm talking about is intentional bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and making your requests known to Him. And if you're having trouble focusing on Him, stop eating. Stop eating for a day. And every time you're hungry, let that drive you in humility to approach the throne room of God. Tithe. Tithe. Seriously, you go, "Oh, Brandon, I thought the church didn't want my money." Hey, one of the best ways to combat greed is to just give it away. Be generous. Go. God, it's yours anyway. And if your giving isn't sacrificial, it's not costing you anything, that's a good sign that you're still greedy. You tipped. You go, "Well, I tipped the guy at, you know, the tire place $4. I don't even know why. It's just there. I guess I can give $5 to the church." Like, hey, listen, God's, if that's all you have, give it. But I'm just telling you, a tithe is 10% of what you make. That's a tithe. You go, "Brandon, I don't know. If I did that, I wouldn't be able to pay my rent. Or if I did that, I wouldn't be able to pay my bills." Then, I don't know, maybe cut other things out in your life. Cut out some luxuries in your life so you can give to God what is His. And see if He will not open up the doors of heaven and rain blessings out upon your life. Serve. Isn't that amazing? That's one of the biggest issues here is that we're greedy with our time too. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I serve. Listen, serve. Serving is a way to get your mindset off of yourself and onto God. And here's the last one, is we repent. We repent. We lay aside this greed and we say, God, I've been convicted today. God, will you change my heart? And in just a second, we're going to take communion. And that is a perfect time to repent of our sin. To say, God, I've been so wrapped up in my marriage. I've been so wrapped up in my children. I've been so wrapped up in my job. I've been so wrapped up in my bank account. I've been so wrapped up in these things. And God, I am chained. And I see you over there. I want to get to you. I want to be in relationship with you. I don't even know how I got over here. But God, come back and get me. Like, come get me. Guys, if you will turn away from your sin and from these idols, and you will take a step, God will meet you the rest of the way today. He will change your heart and change your life. And you can start doing some of these things. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick two or three of them. Just pick two or three. Go ahead, look up at the screen. I want you to pick two or three things that you can do when you leave here today. And during this response time, I want you, when you're taking communion, when you're worshiping and praying, to ask God to help you do those two or three things. In fact, maybe you need to sit back and just start reading your Bible right now. Say, I'm actually going to start right now. Or you can go to yourself, stay in your seat, and just pray for the next 5 minutes. And say, actually, I'm going to start doing that now. Or maybe tithing. You go, actually, I'm not going to wait and do that now. I'm going to just start doing that right now. I'm going to combat these idols. So here, I'm going to pray for us. I just want to say, man, I love you so much. Thank you for being a church that allows their pastor to get up and bring the word even when it's challenging. I don't take that for granted. And that's because of your hearts and our relationship together. So thank you so much. Let's pray together.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel center church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.